this morning. I meant to mention this while the pastoral prayer. How many of you received the phone tree yesterday? Friday. Okay, on Margaret Perry service, okay. How many of you did not? Okay. There's been some difficulty with the phone tree in the last few days, and Danny is wholeheartedly working on it, and we're doing some working and trying to figure out what we need to do to make it work better. So if you did not get the phone tree, let myself, Danny Welch, or Carol, whichever is convenient for you, tomorrow, today, whenever, and let us know. And Danny's working on that to make it better, to make it work. So thank you for sharing that with us on where you got it or not. So our scripture today is taken from John chapter 6. I'll be reading verses 25 through 35. Now, today, if you will take the time and start with verse 1 and read all the way through the chapter, you'll understand the whole story, the whole picture of this particular chapter. We're having communion today, and I want to tie this together with taking communion, this being the first Sunday of the year, first Sunday that we'll be taking communion, and then every other Sunday. I love reading in the Gospels and where Jesus is going about doing great ministries, great things when it comes to people and why God the Father sent His only begotten Son into this world. A lot of questions about Him then, and a lot of questions about Him today. And our goal here at Versailles Baptist Church is to make Him number one in our lives. He is the center of our faith. So today, read about the 5,000 being fed, and then Jesus walking on the water, and then the questions that is opposed to Him when I start reading verse 25. So if you'll follow along with me, beginning with verse 25. When they found Him on the other side of the sea, He had been to Tarabas, and now He was coming to Capernaum. They said to Him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Well, Jesus walked. He walked across the water. That's how He got there. They didn't know that. The disciples did, because they saw Jesus. And in verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek Me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." Now, He's talking about when Jesus fed the 5,000, okay? If you go back to verse 1 and read that, you'll understand what Jesus is talking about here. And that's why He responded the way He did. He fed 5,000 men and probably more women and children as well. So it probably could have been 6,000 or more that Jesus fed. And that's what Jesus is referring to. And now let's move on to verse 27. "Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on Him the Father God has set His seal." Therefore they said to Him, "What shall we do so that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is a work of God, that you believe in Him who He has sent." And he who had sent is Jesus himself. In verse 30. So they said to him, what then do you do for a sign? See, they're still looking for a sign. So that we may see and believe. Jesus just flip-flops that. He says, when you believe, you see. What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, talking about the Exodus from Egypt. As it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, here again, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of the heavens, but it was my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Amen to that. Then he said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. See what Jesus is leading up to. He said, now that you've heard it, now they see it and believe it, give us that bread then. That's what we really want. And Jesus is talking about eternal life. And then verse 35, then Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes, talking about in the heart, believes me, will never thirst. So in our text here this morning, we find a crowd questioning Jesus to how he's going to prove himself to them, yet again, after feeding 5,000 people with a few loaves and fishes, you know, they still have questions. First of all, how did you get here, Jesus? How did you get here? You know, you was over there, but now you're here. How did you get there? And they had a need for food, and Jesus saw and met that need. He does that today as well. They'd perceived a need met. Jesus did that. But did not recognize that they were being offered a solution to the real need. The need of the bread of life, Jesus Christ, being that eternal life. And Jesus reminded them of the importance of what he was offering them, and then attempts to teach them what real need is, rather than meeting a perceived need, which was food. Now, he was speaking of their eternal need. The eternal need that every one of us need. We need to know that. And they only were concerned about the earthly provisions of the prosperity that was at hand. So I want us to look at three types of bread that we should be seeking. And the scripture said that they were seeking Jesus. He was a popular person, you know, and they were still looking for signs and wonders and things, you know. Prove yourself, what they were saying to Jesus. But here in this first part of this verses 25 through 29, we need to be seeking to work for eternal food, not the physical that will perish, but the imperishable food, which is the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ. So in verse 25, the initial question from the crowd was, Rabbi, when did you get here? And since he had not gotten in, you know, in the boat with his disciples, Jesus takes the crowd's question as having two levels. And as I was looking at the distributors, there's two levels of thinking here. One, on their part, was the physical need. On Jesus' part, he was talking about the spiritual need. And he came from heaven, according to verse 33. And then if you want to go on over to chapter 7, verse 28, Jesus says that again. I am the bread of life. I'm the one that can give you eternal life. So his disciples knew that he had arrived by walking on the water. The people did not. They didn't see him. Disciples saw him coming at a distance towards them when they was in the boat getting ready to land on the sea on the Capernaum side. They were frightened, and he said, "Hey, peace be with you. It's me. I am the I am." And they had peace about that. But they still didn't understand he arrived from heaven. It's hard for us to comprehend that, isn't it? So Jesus turns the discussion to his feeding the miracle of the crowd they had experienced, which is why they were seeking him. Oh, he met our need for hunger. What else can he do? And beginning with verse 26 helps them to understand its meaning. When Jesus said in verse 26, again, I want to read that, Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." See, he fed their physical need for hunger of their stomach. He was also wanting them to understand the importance of being fed spiritually. So the needs of the crowd in Galilee were common. They're as common then as they are today. We have a lot of hungry people in our society. We have a lot of hungry people right here in Ripley County that we meet the needs on a regular basis through all of our churches in the area. And this being, we being a part of the Southern Ripley Ministerial Association, us being the distribution center for our area of churches, we see a lot of people seeking different needs. And I almost say 90% is the physical need. And we offer them the spiritual need as well. We want them to know that. And that's what Jesus did. He offered them and gave them both. And that's what we are to do as well. So, the need of a crowd in Galilee is common just like it is for us today and many in our area. And in some way, they represent the needs of humanity since the very beginning of time. And Jesus acknowledged such survival needs when he talked to the disciples about the Lord's Prayer. "Give us this day our daily bread." Bread is what we need to survive and feel well and wholesome on the physical side. And their motive for seeking Jesus was because he had fed them. As Jesus said, "You came seeking me for more." And Jesus tells them their motive was wrong, is unworthy one. And they had missed the real significance for their meeting their physical needs. And they had failed to see beyond external actions to what he said about the spiritual and the physical. So many people use religion to gain prestige, comfort, acceptance, even political gain in our society today, just like they did then. But those are self-centered motives, and Jesus knew their hearts. See, he knows our hearts. He knows if the things we're asking of him are right, or the right motives, or where they're on a selfish side. And he knew their hearts, their motives. So, true believers, and I want to say it this way, follow Jesus simply because they know he has the truth, He has a way, and He is the way of life. That's why believers follow Jesus. Now, in verse 27, Jesus replies to the materialism this way. And this is why Jesus says, "Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on Him, the Father, God has set His seal." Talking about Jesus Himself. So, as Jesus teaches this congregation, or actually, I would put it this way, in the synagogue, because they met in synagogues, and that's where Jesus met often with them, worshiped with them, and so forth. And this was in a synagogue, and He desires to lift His hearers, as we do today. We want those people who are seekers in our area, or around the world, to really know the true Jesus Christ, the Father who sent Him into this world, above humanism, and understanding that He will provide miracles, and He does provide miracles in our lives. But the best gift of all is eternal life, the bread of life, who is Jesus Christ. Now, He stresses that their efforts should be focused not on the loaves and the fishes. And what a, that was a miracle, wasn't it? A little lad had 5 loaves, 2 fish. Took the minimum and made something great out of it. See, that's what God does. When we have something that's minimum and we don't think it's enough, and He blessed it, prayed to the Heavenly Father, it multiplied, and they had 12 baskets left over. You see, that is a miracle. In verse 28, reveals the questioner still did not understand the gift. Therefore, Jesus said to them in verse 28, "What shall we do so that we shall work?" Or they said to Jesus, "What shall we do so that we may work the works of God?" And here came the challenge. Jesus always offered a challenge. He always wanted His people to think spiritually, not always physically or emotionally, but He wanted to challenge them to extend their life for the imperishable, which is the gift of God, which is eternal life. And God's gift, His Son, being the Messiah, who they were seeking. They were always seeking the Messiah. And still today, many Jews are seeking the Messiah, except for those that already found Him, just like you and I. We know the true Messiah. He came to this earth and now sits at the right hand of God. So their question implies a feeling of self-sufficiency. And that's the whole picture I'm seeing here with these people. And we see that in our society today. So they seem confident that they could do the works of God. They felt confident that they could do that on the physical side. So they did not understand that it was a gift of God and not of themselves. God provided it. So Jesus tells the basic work is faith in the Messiah. In verse 29, moving on, looking at it, Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent." See, He said, that's the work right there. You believe from your heart the one who has sent me, the Heavenly Father. The Yahweh, the Hebrew name for God, one of the names for God. Now, let's look at the second type of bread that we should be seeking, and that's the true bread of heaven. See, in verse 30, reveals that they understood Jesus was asking them to believe in Him. They understood that at this point, So in verse 30, it says, so they said to him, what then do we do for a sign so that we may see and believe you? What works do you perform? Hear the question they ask again. They thought God's order is to see and believe. But the divine order is believe and see. John 11, chapter 11, verse 40. See, they did not have faith or spiritual perception at this moment. Until people believe God's word, they will not. We have to believe God's words to spiritually see. And, you know, Thomas had that visual problem as well. And Jesus confronted Thomas on that. See, they did not have the faith to the spiritual perception. Until people believe God's word, they are not spiritually seeing. It reminds me of the film director, Woody Allen. He is known to have once quoted or said, if only God would give me some clear sign, like making a large deposit in my name at a Swiss bank. Now he said, if I see that sign, if I see that or experience that, then he said, I'll believe. See, it's been like that all the way through generations and generations. Show me something, then I'll believe. Jesus says, believing is seeing. So the reason people give for not believing God often boils down to something they want God to do or prove of himself. So even people who lived near Jesus and who witnessed his miracles asked for more proof. They asked, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? Which brings us to our final need for seeking Jesus, the type of bread we need, and that is the bread of life. The bread of life that will be taken here in a few minutes, the symbol of Christ's life. See, in verse 33, it tells us that the bread God supplies gives life. In verse 33, it says, for the bread of God is the one who comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. That's what John 3:16 says, isn't it? For God so loved the what? The world. And that's what Jesus is saying right here in this verse, to give life to the world. See, the response of the crowd in verse 34 forms a climax. I'm thinking. Then they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. If that's what it is, that's what we want. So give us this bread. And Jesus makes his meaning about the new type of bread even plainer in verse 35 when he says, Jesus said to them, I am that bread. This is what I've been telling you the whole time. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Hallelujah. Since you've been a Christian, since you've been saved, have you ever hungered or thirst? Now, I'm not talking about the physical side. I'm talking about the spiritual side, what Jesus is talking about here. Since I surrendered my life to him, I've never hungered or thirst for anything else. Because I know I have everything I need to sustain me here on this earth through eternity, which is the true bread of life, which is Christ Jesus. He fulfills all hunger. That's why Jesus said, I don't live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the Word of God. See, this tells us everything that we need to do to sustain us. We just need to get it past this mind here of just knowledge into belief. If we confess with the heart the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart the Lord Jesus Christ, that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And in Romans 10:13 said, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's a whole thesis of what Jesus is saying here in this passage of scripture here this morning. Jesus is the bread of life. He is truly the bread of life. And then in our conclusion this morning, our basic hunger comes from our being separate from God. Who made himself for us. That's what the Bible says here. So this hunger and this thirst remains until we are fed the only thing that we can be filled with, permanent hunger, and quench man's perpetual thirst. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So, what do we need? What do we need? I think we need loved, forgiven, and saved. See, that's what Jesus is talking about here in this scripture. He showed his love. He was willing to forgive. And once they accept his forgiveness, he saved them. Saved them from eternal damnation. Saved them to a new life with him. Only God can do that. Man can't do that. Government can't do that. No one in this world can do that except God. And that is why Jesus, and that's I said a few minutes ago, Yahweh himself came to suffer and die for us that we might be forgiven. He loved us, he forgave us, and he saved us. So, from the very beginning of time, starting in Genesis, where God created man and woman, and they sinned. See, sin separates us from God. But then God had a plan, a remedy, and it came through Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, sin defeats us, it robs us of life. But, guess what? Jesus won the victory. He won eternal life for us on Calvary. He did that for you and I. You and me. Hallelujah. That he loved us that much. He loved us, he forgave us, and he saved us. And that's why we can partake of this cup and this bread wholeheartedly, knowing that we are worthy because of his death on Calvary. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you this morning that you loved us that much, that you died for our sins. As we begin this new year, this new decade, 2020, Lord, I pray that we didn't make New Year's resolutions that we're going to not keep, but we make goals and promises to you that we will be better servants. We will read our Bible more. That we'll come to church more. Get more involved. As you got involved in our lives when you died for our sins, and it cost you your life. All it cost us is our service to you, a living service. We are living servants. As Hebrews tells us, we are to do it cheerfully, honorably, respectfully. And Lord, I pray this morning as we come to closure of this service and as we sing our final song before we take communion, that we each one of us examine our hearts this morning. If we know we're saved, Lord, we are worthy to take this bread and this cup We don't know you as personal Savior. If there's anyone here that doesn't, Lord, they can. And this would be their first communion to take. So I pray with your Holy Spirit divinely working in and through our lives that you rightly divide asunder, Lord, the sin that could be in any of our hearts. All we have to do is confess and repent, and you cleanse us. Lord, there's many needs here in our congregation. Lord, only you know, and the person, each one of us, knows our own hearts. May we be willing and honestly submissive to you this morning and come forward and accept your Son, Jesus Christ, or renew our lives for this year. Lord, I thank you for your forgiveness, your grace and the mercy that you extend to each one of us. And may we show in response our willingness to give of ourselves, fresh and anew this year. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let us stand as we sing our closing song.